Okay.
Yes,
we have a fascinating material today, tomorrow, and I don't finish afterwards. But let's begin. Today is Sunday, March 26, 2017. The summer has arrived in Israel. Everyone's walking around today outside, even without a jacket, a sweater. Kanayin Hara. So anyone listening in Florida, you're invited to come back home. Now, we're in the middle of a very interesting topic, Birchat Kohanim. If we take the Gemara at face value, to learn Pashat Naso and learn about Birchat Kohanim is one thing, Talmud Torah. But for us to give Birchat Kohanim, it's very strange. We're not Kohanim. And yet we see the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave Birchat Kohanim. We'll talk about it in great depth later today. And we see that a lot of people have the minhag that Friday night, in addition, Yisuncha Elokim Kefayim Kanasha, they give Birchat Kohanim. And I want to tell you something very fascinating. You all know that in a print today, one of the few things in life that became unbelievably cheaper than it used to be is printed material. When my first book was published, type had to be set by hand. Today, everything is computerized. It cost pennies compared to the dollars that it cost 30, 40 years ago to put a book together. So as a result of print being very cheap, you have Shabbos when you go to shul. I wind up with about 15 different freebies running the spectrum of what's available in shul. Fine. Now, recently, Miflegat Avodah got involved and they've organized a religious division. They are headed up by someone named Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog. I think you recognize the name, known as Buji. How Yitzchak Isaac becomes Buji, I don't know, but there must be some connection. Unfortunately, he's a traditional Jew. He's not a Shomer Shabbos that he should be, and I hope he will be. But now, every other week, they're giving out a freebie, Sichat HaShabbat, Divrei Torah, and every week they interview another Chaver Knesset from the Labor Party, and lo and behold, they're all Shomrei Shabbos. I can't believe what I read. But here, this week, they interviewed Yael Kohen Paran, 44 years of age, married, living in Pardes Chana, mother of three daughters. And they ask her about Shabbat, and she says how they make Kiddush. Before they make Kiddush, they sing Shalom Aleichem. After they sing Shalom Aleichem, and now I'm quoting word by word, I'm simply translating into English as I read. Together with my husband and I bless all our daughters, Yisimcha Elokim, Kesara Rivka, Rachav Aleya, V'rechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Ya Hashem panav eilecha v'yichunecha, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasein lecha shalom. So here you see living proof of how far this blessing has gone, Birchat Kohanim, and I gave you sources last week where you see Yaakov Emden, Chassidic Rabbeim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Yavetz, Chassidic Rabbeim, encouraged parents to bless the children with Birchat Kohanim. How are we allowed to do it? So we did a tshuva of Rabbi Menashe Klein, who tries lelameid skut. After all, he says, it's a pasha in the Torah, we're saying it betorat kriyat the Torah. Also, it's God that really blesses. All we're doing is pleading with Ribbono Shel Olam to bless the people in accordance to what he said in the Torah, Vayedaber Shem Moshe le'emor, Daber el Aharon ve'el banav, Kol sevarchu et b'nei Yisrael, v'samot shmi al b'nei Yisrael, v'ani avarchem. All right, a very interesting tshuva. He shows the Tanchuma. The Tanchuma quotes, Tzaddikim have a right to bench. So a Talmud listening who happens to be a Kohen, Nachum Len, so he had quite a number of comments on Birchat Kohanim. And as to Birchat Kohanim, my father would give us a bracha only on Erev Yom Kippur. In other words, he didn't do it Friday night, although his father is a Kohen, my good friend, Rabbi Arnold Lamb, Avraham Lamb. But Efrat, Efrat is his wife, and I do Lord from frequently, giving the bracha Friday night when we remember. But every sitter and bencher I see, Nusach Askenaz, includes the Birchat Kohanim for Friday night. And fascinating. By the way, I also heard that the common point between Menashe Ephraim and the Foyi Mohat are that all were raised in non-Jewish environments. In other words, the truth is, when we say Sarah Rivka Rachel Leah, we're covering all the ground. But all right, they want to make an analogy to Ephraim and Menashe. A local mohel has all the Kohanim present at a brit come up and bless the baby. I participated in that a few times when at Britat he was conducting. So can you imagine the mohel when he finishes the brit and after the brachat, he asked the Kohanim present to come up and bless the baby. Has anyone seen that? You've done it, so you see what he...
I hope us also.
Okay, so we have Natan, who is a Kohen, is seconds what Nachum Lam is telling us. He also goes into Rabbi Kadosh's article on Rav Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Kadosh has declared that he's married a bunch of Kohanim to Giorat by declaring them all to be a Suffolk. Maybe I'm a bit too sensitive about this, but that's just making a mockery of Judaism. Look, al pi halacha, it's true that no one's becheskat gomor of being a kohen, but the isa of a kohen marrying a gerusha is an isa d'oraita. So one suffek doesn't help. You can use that we're not becheskat kohanim if they're rather snifim as well. There's a famous tshuva of, he was Rav in Romania, he was head of the Agudas HaRabbanim, the Agudat Yisrael there, Yehuda, his last name is Vizosli Yehuda, I think is the name of the Shelet and Tshuvat. And he had a very difficult case where a girl had converted when she was an infant, she was under 3, and later her parents converted, Al-Dat Beitin, and she converted. And later a Kohen wanted to marry her. And he came up with a hetter, putting together many snifim. All right, there he found Rishonim that she's under 3, etc., etc. Then you can use the Cheskat Kohanim as an additional factor. But to say you can marry off Kohanim the way Hartman speaks, the way Kadosa speaks, Lopez Kadosa. What?
If the Kohen is a
Halal. If the Kohen is a Halal, he can marry whoever he wants. He's a Halal. He's no longer a Kohen.
Because I had a case.
You understand? The kid is not a Kohen anymore.
And it's an Igros of Moshe, a different variation of a yeshiva boy who wants to marry he's a Kohen, marry a Giorit. But and the parents were in the underground in Odessa. And she was, in order to be a member, she had to sleep with everybody. So, and her husband, so the baby was born, but he's a pastor, that he was a halal chimera.
Yeah, no, he's a halal. This question, I tell you, I bite my lips, but a girl on an American college campus, not frum, and later she becomes frum, and she wants to marry a Kohen. What do you do? It's a very... It's a very difficult situation. All right, many just take the attitude we don't ask, but we're fooling ourselves. It's a sad situation. By the way, this concept is what everyone's asked me what my opinion is on the Israeli army, what's going on. So I thought I made myself clear. I spoke about it already, and I don't want to waste time. But you read the weekend newspapers and the freebies. This was the single most important, greatest topic. But you see, with the army, what's happening is the leftists and how they control the chief of staff and how they control the Mate Klali, it's very frightening. There is not one kippah on the Mate Klali. And if anyone's listening, I repeat this again, we have to yell and shout that there have to be Tate Aluf who wear kippah. There are Tate Aluf on the Mate Klali who have to be Some of them must be appointed to the Matet Klali, that you should know what the religious Jew is all about and how you have to accommodate him. What's very frightening is that they say this Golan, who reached the rank of Skan Ramat Kal today, who came out in Elor and immediately condemned him, they say he was speaking with high-ranking officers about problems in the army. And they asked him, and what are you afraid of? And he pointed to a guy with a beard, an Aluf Mishner, I believe he was a colonel, with a kippah. I'm afraid of guys like this. And this is what Golan said in public. It's beyond words. What's on his lung suddenly comes out on his mouth. And it's beyond words. So you see what they want to do. They want the army to be like a high school in North Tel Aviv. In a high school in North Tel Aviv, they're giving out prophylactics, you understand? We're way behind the Western world. The Western world was doing it already in the 60s. Here, this arrived in the 80s. I can tell you, I once saw a woman who was the secretary in BMT, so she showed me directives that they were giving to the teachers. Her sister was teaching in a non-religious high school, and she showed me what's going on, where teachers are told, just explain to the children that before they use prophylactics, they have to take responsibility. They have to understand that you can't father children when you're in high school. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. This is the Western world today. This is the world of Obama. This is the world of Clinton. This is the world. This is the this is the world of Obama with today, with heterosexuality, homosexuality, lesbians, homos, same-sex couples. It's all part of the same syndrome. Sex has lost its sexuality, and sex has lost its sanctity. Sex, from a Torah point of view, is the heart of Torah civilization. That's how we have families and children and live with purity and dedication, etc. So it's a tremendous battle going on now. Thank God the chief of staff backed down. If you know the latest news, he understands that they've gone too far. But we have to speak and speak out firmly. What's sad is everyone is rallied in back of Rabbi Levenstein, which I'm very happy to see, but you have to know how to speak. I would ask Rabbi Rubin to become the advisor to the military rabbinate or to the heads of the military schools, the pre-military schools, the preparatory schools that are run by Gedolei Yisrael, Tzaddikim, but you have to know how to speak. You can't say every girl goes into the army, a Jewish girl comes out and go, yeah, you can't speak like that. And this is part of public relations. All right, I don't want to go any further. I can only tell you that I know women who were in the army and became totally frum, became sitkaniyat. There are endless stories. There was a woman who was born in the Ukraine. And in the army, she found out she was not Jewish. Her father was Jewish, her mother wasn't. And she got involved with the Nativ course in the army. And the Dayanim described when she came to convert, they never met a woman who knew more, could quote the Shulchan Aruch, and with such meaning and dedication that the Av Beis Din, he was then Tataluf Weiss, was the head of the military rabbinate, he broke down and cried. He was just overwhelmed by her dedication, how she answered the questions. So good things happen in the army too. But the normal person, he's living in the army like he lived in high school, you understand? And you can't take religious people and put them into that position. I am blessed that I have one granddaughter that just went up to captain in the reserves. I imagine when you get a promotion in the reserves, it's very rare. She went up to Seren. She was a second, and now she went up to Seren. She's in intelligence, a very bright lady, a very bright lady. She and my grandson, Kanayim Hara, God should bless them. So she covers her hair like this. I showed it to a Sakma Chassid. She's in military uniform with her rank, and her hair is covered down to her forehead. All right, I'll take a little bit credit, because in the early 70s, I taught her mother in Mechvala. You know, mother was one of my Israeli students in an advanced class. I didn't know at the time that her mother's father, my granddaughter-in-law's grandfather, who is the Sfadik chief rabbi of Bar Akiva. I didn't know. And I taught a girl, Michala Tzvia, nice girl, and this is her daughter, really a Sheng Daba. So I'm not saying girls have a role in the army. I don't believe they should be combat. They can be in intelligence, they can be Marat Chayalot, they do wonderful work. Rabbi Rubin dealt with that for many, many years, right? You dealt with Marat Chayalot. I remember giving a Shayua on a fast day, maybe it was Asara B'Tavis. I remember in the army, I'm giving a Shayua on a fast day to Marat Chayalot, and a girl comes over to me afterwards and asks, Kvod HaRab, am I allowed to take a shower today? Okay, the Shul Sitka, you know? You look it up. Are you allowed? Meikah Hadin, Minha, Chumra, etc., etc. But basically, there's no Isha taking a shower. It's not Tisha B'Av, it's not Yom Kippur. But I was moved that a girl in the army in uniform asked me the question, Tiyabena Ka'elu B'Yisrael. Okay, so that's those listening who asked me my opinion. I think I've made my opinion very clear. And I'm very angry at those listening who are not citizens of Israel. We need you here so that your vote will count. V'day l'chakima b'remisa. All right, gentlemen, a beautiful source. I started it last week and I want to pick it up. I'm very impressed, and Rabbi Rubin was impressed. Reb Levi Yitzchak Raskin, a Chabad posek from London.
I wrote him a letter.
You wrote him a letter.
I told him I thought that his book was wonderful.
Dayanu Moritz Sedek. I just got Chelik Bet today, so when I go through it, I'll pass it on to you. That you'll take. You don't have to worry about crowding up the house. The guy is a London, but beautiful, beautiful. So I told you the name of the book, Netivim B'Shtei HaShlichot. B'Shtei HaShlichot. Problems that he came across being a shaluach to London over the years. He's evidently from a very well-known Chabad family. A Chabadnik can speak of him with awe. So he raises the whole question. If you don't have a coin and shoe, we have one coin at our minyan every day. Once in a while he oversleeps and he davens instead of the 5:30 minyan, now 5:35, he davens at 6 o'clock, okay? But generally, he's always there. He's a great nephew to Zalman Shazar, to President Shazar. An Elika person, Itai Hagiti, has a biblical name. So if he's not there, we have other Chazanim. I can give you names. It doesn't mean anything to you. These are people, old-time Yerushalmi families, good Balei Tefillah, but they're not Kohanim. And yet they say Birchat Kohanim. And of course, this question comes up, can the Shliach Tzibur, who is not a Kohen, can he say Birchat Kohanim? Remember, you're davening today after 1,000 years of response to literature on the topic. But it first comes up, Rav Haigon. I'm quoting to you from Rabbi Raskin's Sefer. Page Siman Vav, I'm quoting from Siman Vav. So Rabbi Chai Gaon was asked this question, and he feels that the Shliach Tzibur has a right to say Elokeinu, Elokei Avoteinu, Bocheinu, Babracha, exactly what you say, but he says we don't answer Amen on Ofri Brachat. He says, just at the very end, when you finish Ofri Brachat, then we answer Amen at the end. So, an interesting question. And can you answer Amen? Can't you answer Amen? Do you treat it like Yalla V'Yavo? Remember, Yalla V'Yavo, we say a number of times we answer Amen, right or wrong. In the Nusach of the Tefillah, I think it's 3 times in the middle that we answer Amen. And he says, do you treat it like Yalla V'Yavo? And he says, you could treat it like Yalla V'Yavo, but our minig is to say Amen at the very end. The Rif got the same question, and he was opposed to saying Amen. A main makes it sound like it's a Kohen. Yomo, stop looking at that woman, please. I know what you're doing, dude. Stop looking. Let me put it my way. Yomo, a main is too dignified. The Rif says, you say, Ken Yehi Ratzon. Okay? That they're like two levels. If the Kohen is blessing you, then you're allowed to say Amen. But if the Kohen is not blessing you, you say Ken Yehi Ratzon. The Avudraham, now are you familiar with the Avudraham? The Avudraham was a Rishon who wrote a tremendous Perush on the Siddur. Generally speaking, a good deal of the way we daven today goes back to the Avudraham. I've gone through it when I was a kid. I remember they republished it in America, and I bought it. I still have that copy. I don't know if there's an edited edition. It could be today there's an edited edition. I've never seen it, but it could be. So much comes out today that you can't know everything coming out. But I have the old edition of the Avudraham, and a good deal of the davening, and ultimately, Yavarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, you're allowed to say Amen on each of the brachot. And the Alter Rebbe, the Baal Tanya in the Rav Shulchan Aruch, he paskin, you're allowed to say Amen, you should say Amen on the three brachot. It's exactly like Yalla V'Yavo, where we say Amen on each bakasha, and therefore we have a right to say Amen, even though it's not a Kohen. We just are repeating the words in the Torah, and it's different bracha. All right, it's not the same chalais, it's not the same status, the same ma'amad as a Kohen. And when the Shliach Tzibah does it, he doesn't make a bracha. When Natan gets up to say Birchat Kohanim, he has to make a bracha because he's fulfilling a mitzvah asay. But the Shliach Tzibah, and this is the Alter Rebbe paskening, so you see right away that Chabad already has a more lenient attitude to the Yavarecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha. It can be said more than just by a coin, and it can be said more times. Now, a word about the Alter Rebbe. People don't realize the Alter Rebbe was a Gaon Adir. In other words, Rav Shneur Zalman of Ladi, the Baal Tanya, the Shulchan Aruch Harav. The Rub was very machshavit. They say Rab Chaim Brisker was very machshav. He was a London mufak. Yes, there are overtones of Hasidus. I showed the class when it comes to Yontif Sheni. It's a classic example. There are overtones of Hasidus where he talks about in Mamish the first Perek, I think it's subdivision Chet, Perek Aleph, where he talks about the emanations from God. That he alludes to the fact that that we observe 2 days in Chutz Laretz, 1 day in Eretz Yisrael, Yontif Sheni, because the emanations from God in Eretz Yisrael, the second day are Chol. In Chutz Laretz, they are Kodesh. And his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, elaborates, and it's all published, that it takes longer to feel the Kedusha in Chutz Laretz. Right, you're with me? That's why you need 2 days. Now, it's Israel, you need one. And if that is correct, then it means every good Chabadnik, if Alex is in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, he observes like an Israeli. If I'm in Chutz Laretz and I'm a Chabadnik, I observe 2 full days like everyone else. You follow? But you should know. You should know. In Hilchat Yontif, if he has a Yesh Omrim, it's like he's not certain. If you look into Rabbi Raskin's Sefer, there is so much confusion among Chabad, endless different points of view. And Rebbe, the seventh Rebbe, Reb Menachem Mendel, used to say, ask a posek. So it depends who you ask in Chabad. There are many, many different points of view. It's a very, very fascinating topic. But
you quoted the Rav. The Rav said, you can't put Kedusha in your pocket.
No, I know I quoted it. What are you talking? I quoted the Rav. I quoted the Minchat Yitzchak, Minchat Lavsa. I quoted the Baal Tanya. Absolutely. I paskim la halacha one day here, 2 days in Chutz Laaretz. But I'll tell you, when people are coming to Eretz Yisrael just for the Chag, I tell them, if they're asking me for a psak, I would tell them not to do malacha the second day. I spoke with the Rav about this. It's not me'ika hadin. It's psychological. I don't want people to get used to being mechalal yom tov sheni. There was a famous case, I don't want to go into details, an embarrassing story of a rabbi on sabbatical, and his replacement paskind in the Young Israel. I don't want to mention, I don't want you to identify, because it's not, it's an embarrassing story. I think the rabbi did not act properly. So the rabbi who was filling in Gidi for the rabbi who was here was mekil on Yom Tov Sheni. They can take showers, they can take a bath. You follow? If the weather is hot, people want to take...
There's a lot more to say.
It's very hard to say that. So the rabbi here ran back and told him off in public. He never regained his status as rabbi because he embarrassed the replacement. But you see,
the Rosh Kollel, the upper, West Side Kollel, I'll pass him that way. Many other
Who is the Rosh Kollel? Is he a Lamdan in the Yerei Shemayim?
He's learned in Lakewood.
He learned in Lakewood. Doesn't relax. You can learn in Lakewood. You can learn in YU. But we got to know Matibo Shalib
Bezel. He's not. He was not a Mako. I'm saying.
Had he Paskin, you can take a shower. Yom Tov
Sheni. Second day of you.
Are you sure? That's a tremendous
cooler. I may have said that you have to. I've heard it from many other poskim as well.
Washing hot water, normal
I think he may have said that you have to use lukewarm water.
All right, then once you start playing games. Anyway, la halacha, I can tell you, that's why I tell people, second day yontif, don't do malacha, be a shtickle at tzaddik. But a lot of people come to me and I say to them, do you want a psak or do you want me to justify what you want to do? So if they come here and want me to justify the result, that's why we want to observe 2 days. All right, I'll tell them the justification for observing 2 days
why
in Israel.
As far as I know, you are the only Talmud of the Rav that actually follows this Pesach. Why is it that everybody?
I'm not the only Talmud of the Rav. But what happened was, what happened? Reb Heshel Schechter has gone 2 ways. That he's quoted one way that I spoke. I can tell you, Reb Aaron Lichtenstein followed the Rav, and then when it became very close to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he tended to follow Rav Shlomo Zalman Lachatchila, you understand?
Right, but it's ironic to me that people go so out of, all these people are going to go to Israel Pesach, and they're going to keep one day, and they're all screaming about it. Right. And I can understand, maybe because you think they're not respecting Yom Tov Sheni, and when they go
That's my thinking.
But the Rav held that way.
No, but I spoke with the Rav. Why don't we pass him la halacha for these people that are coming just for Pesach? And the Rav told me we should ask them not to do malacha the second day. Why? 2 reasons. The Mori Rebbe, we spoke about this for over an hour. When I knew how to learn a little, we're talking 78, not 58. Then whatever the Rav said, now I'm arguing, I'm talking, I'm quoting. 2 reasons. One reason is obvious, Kavod HaShulchan Aruch. How do you go in? I gave a year and a half shurim in this room. Are you allowed to paskin against the Shulchan Aruch?
Well, apparently he did.
So that's the first reason we should say. And the second reason is what I'm telling you, that a Beis Yaakov girl shouldn't go back and be mezalzel in Yom Tov Sheni.
I don't think the concern is that the Beis Yaakov girl is going
to do that. Well, what I mean by Beis Yaakov girl, I mean a person who's more learned can understand. But let's say a Beis Yaakov, I'm only using as a euphemism for someone who's just kids of Shulchan Aruch, she'll say, I was a mekil here, why not here? You understand? Say, I take it back, poor example. Okay, but the idea is solid. Yes, Yitzchak, let me...
You make it here, when you go back to America, you're living there,
Everybody's keeping.
Okay, gentlemen, if you want to keep one day here and 2 days there, fine. That's what I do, but when I do it...
What do you see before is to come here for the gap here?
Right about. So this is the Shaila. This is the Shaila. Here there was a second day minyan. But it's for many years there was a second day minyan. But this year on Sukkot, I think at the end it fell apart. There was not a second day minyan.
Rashi Weiss said that if someone's here for 3 months, it's enough.
Rabbi Ovadia felt if you'd go out with a girl here and marry here, they say that there's a world of material, but it's not for now. But halacha l'maisa, the Alter Rebbe was a very big posek with tremendous insight and tremendous knowledge, and he taka paskins that you have to say birchat kohanim and you can answer amen in chazarat hashatz even if it isn't a kohen. Okay. Now another problem comes up, and there's a world of sources here, very frightening. You wake up in the morning. So, fortunately or unfortunately, I'm older, which is fortunate. Unfortunately, I can't sleep. I don't sleep that long. I always wake up, let's say I go to bed 10. I'm always awake 4, 4:15. I sleep till 4:30, it's late already. All right, I take a nap by day. It's not that I just get along on 5, 6 hours sleep. But, so what do I do when I wake up? Of course, notel yadayim, and birchat, not birchat hashachiyat, that's a bit of a problem. Shenatan l'sechvi yinla b'nyom v'nilayla, if you say it before it's light. But birchat haTorah, and I start learning. Now, when you say birchat haTorah, what do you say right afterwards? Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. It's part of the Torah. The Torah. Nu, how are you allowed to say it at night? Kohanim aren't allowed to say a bracha at night. We're always chayshesh for shikrat, right or wrong. But obviously, if a person's waking up in the morning, he's not shikra. That's number one. Number two, he's not saying it the Torah at birchat kohanim. He's saying it B'toret limud Torah, so that you're allowed. Hey, nice sources here, interesting question. But now we get involved, what about birchat kohanim that we give our children, that we give our children Friday night, we give our children under the chuppah, we give our children Erev Yom Kippur, and here too we see that Minig Yisrael is to do it. And he brings down sources that under the chuppah, the Rav Masada Kedushin gives the Birchat Kohanim, but he doesn't raise his hands. By not raising his hands, he indicates that it is not as a Kohen, but it is as a Yisrael, quoting from the Torah, the words of blessing. There are other sources that you can give the Birchat Kohanim and you can raise your hands or put your hands on the child you're blessing because you're not making a bracha. If you're not making a bracha, it's obviously not the Torah Birchat Kohanim, but it is a blessing among other blessings in the Torah. But this is the ultimate blessing. And then he has a footnote here on page Kuf Pei Tet. And you have to appreciate a chassid and a Rebbe. And the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe has a fascinating footnote that he tells a story that there was this chassidische Chabad wedding, and the Rav Yud Weinberg, it's evidently a well-known Chabadnik, gave the Rebbe a sikum, a report, a doch of the wedding, and he's telling the Rebbe who was Masada Kedushin, who had each bracha, and then he told the Rebbe that for Birchat Kohanim, kibdu et harav mem pei ha-kohen katz. Giving the Rebbe a full report. And could you imagine, under the chuppah, no, all of you have been Masada Kedushin or been at weddings, you have, Siddur Kedushin is one kibbut, Tu Edim is another kibbut, Kriyat HaKetuvah is another kibbut, Sheva Bracha is either 6 kibbutim or 7. You know, we try to do the first 2 bracha together. Natan, whoever heard of a Kohen? Imagine we're going to announce, and now we are honoring Rabbi Natan Kohen to give the Birchat Kohanim. Whoever heard of that? And here they did it. And he's telling the Rebbe with the name, who the Mechav is. So the Rebbe responded, Mistama had say fafelt zem gedaf hab noch a kibbut. The Rebbe responded, let me translate it for Simon, that evidently they didn't have enough kibbutim to go around. You follow? But it's fascinating, but the Rebbe didn't say a word. That fine, good, beautiful.
I was at the wedding at 770, and they asked all the Kohanim to come up.
Well, that's what Nachum Lamb said at the Yeseh.
At 770.
I understand. You have 770.
Exactly the way, like, the Rebbe said.
Right? Unbelievable. Now, in Harpades, 1954, he gives the source here. Harpades, I don't know if it still comes out. Does it come out, Yitzchak? I haven't seen it in years. Harpades was a private venture in America that caught on. There was a Rav Aaron Halevi Pardes, I believe he was in Chicago, I'm pretty sure, and he started putting out a rabbinic journal. And that rabbinic journal went on for years. Later, when Rav Pardes died, Rabbi Elberg took over, Rabbi Simcha Elberg, Zichrono Livracha, took over. And Pardes had quite a bit of influence. I don't know if it's online, if it's available. It has a lot of Divrei Torah, and it also gives you a rundown of what's happening in the Torah world, the rabbinic world, who's getting married, who took on a new shtela, who published a new sefer. Very, very fascinating rabbinic journal, Harpades. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Lamb, when he became president of YU, they published some of this Divrei Torah. Then my Talmud, Mark Dratch, Rabbi Dratch, who was executive vice president, RCA, he published Divrei Torah in Harpades, quite an interesting rabbinic journal. So in Harpades, in 54, there was a tremendous article against this minhag of Kohanim or Rabbanim saying Birchat Kohanim at the wedding. Why? And he claimed it's Minhag Akum, that they're emulating the priests, that at a Gentile services the priest blessed the people. Not only is it Minhag Akum, but he says we are copying it from the Reform and Conservative. Because the Reform and Conservative saw the priest doing it or the pastor doing it. So they introduced it. They introduced it. Suddenly it spread into the Orthodox world. And he totally, totally opposed. And he brings from those that responded to this rabbi, particularly the Chabadnikim, 100% against him. And they tell a story here that the Meshrit Magid went to see the Baal Tanya, and he told the Baal Tanya he's worried, has certain problems, and the Baal Tanya got up and put his two hands on him and gave him Birchat Kohanim B'Lev V'Nefesh, that he shouldn't be worried about the problems. And if this is the case, we have every right to say Birchat Kohanim, whoever we are, at any event we want, as long as we don't say the bracha. Once we don't say the bracha, it's not a ma'asa kohen giving the bracha, but one Jew blessing another Jew. And here goes on, very fascinating. I'm now on page Kuf Tzadi Aleph. And I'll tell you something interesting in a moment, that Chabad, the Rebbe, the seventh Rebbe, time and again gave Birchat Kohanim in public, Erev Yom Kippurim. Didn't hesitate, spoke to his students, and he even would say, Vayadabar Hashem, he would, the Samu et Shmi, he would quote that and give the bracha. And why? How? And at one Fabrengen, he went into great detail. And he said, what's wrong with giving the bracha? It's Lima Torah. We're quoting the psukim. And then the Rebbe said something very interesting. And we can take this a lot further. I'm quoting the Lubavitch Rebbe. It's out of Fabrengen. It's a sicha. Look, there was a time when only the Kohanim did the Avoda and the Beit HaMikdash. Right or wrong? We're not allowed to do the Avoda. We're very limited in what we can do in the Beit HaMikdash. Then comes Churban Bayit, and every Jew davens. No, the three tefillot take the place of the Kabbanot, Shachrit, Mincha, and the Emurim Kol HaLaila, Mariv. We're not Kohanim, and we're doing the Avoda. He says, with Churban HaBayit, every Jew has to become like a Kohen. And just as he does the Avoda, and he davens three times a day, he can give a Bicha Kohanim. It's not limited to the Kohanim, Bizman HaZeh. He says, it's not a mitzvah taseh, I'm quoting the Rebbe, but we don't make a bracha, but we should do it. We should encourage. We should show our love for our fellow Jews. Now, you know why I find this very enlightening, inspiring? Mori Rebbe, there's a whole talk that he gave in the 50s. I'll be very brief and just give you a drop of background. You all know I spent 22 years on the Rav in this very class. I told you, I get a lot of scuttlebutt now that I spent 2+ years on the Rebbe. I'm spending a whole year in Rav Hutna, and why not on your own Rebbe? Talk about the Rav. I did. I spoke for 22 years. The problem.
It's recorded, right?
Part of it's recorded.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, part of it.
It's on? Part
yeah,
it's
yeah,
on?
Part, because it'd be, they started recording. I think the recordings go back to 1992. So I was still with the Rav, but a great deal is missing. So Dr. Tova Soloveitchik Lichtenstein heard about the Shurim, and at a certain point she contacted me when I make my notes. She heard that I write everything out, you know. I have hundreds, I have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pages of notes written out longhand. So part of it I wrote out translating word by word from Yiddish to English. In other words, whether I've spoken English, I wrote in English, but when he spoke in Yiddish, I had to write it out in English. Not only that, I found the sources, or what I think are the sources, because the Rav could say, Chazal haben gesagt, Chazal said, in Medrash steht, or he would say, Gefinzach in the Zohar, we find in the Zohar. So if you're going to give a class, I can't get away with that. The Rav could do that, and Yitzchak and I were sitting there frightened stiff, when they're going to shoot out, Rebbe, where in the Zohar? You follow? No one would ever dare ask the Rav that question. But if I'm teaching here in Gruss, I gotta know where it is. I worked very hard. I hope I found this. I'm saying I hope. You understand, Simon? Because I can't be sure this is what the Rav had in mind. You understand? So I have to thank Irwin Shapiro. Paid, had all my notes copied for the Torah Torah Foundation. So I have a copy in there, all copied professionally, Xeroxed. Thousands of pages. So I always wondered what happened to it. So finally, the new volume came out, Halachic Morality, and one of the talks in there, they thanked me in the introduction. I wish they would have said that this was based upon a shiur I gave in Gruss. They should give Gruss a little publicity. There's my talk on various personalities in being good Jews. That's word by word what I gave in class from the Rebbe's talk on Saturday night in Boston. I think it was given in Yiddish, if I'm not mistaken. And I wrote it out. So now I hope in a future volume they will write about the rabbis. what is a rabbi? And I gave, Rav gave two tremendous talks. I have maybe over 100 pages, more than 100 pages written out on these two talks that he gave to the Yeshiva University Rabbinic alumni in the mid-50s. And one of these talks, he sounds exactly like the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He says, nowadays, every Jew is a Kohen. What's the purpose of a Kohen? And he says, the purpose of a Kohen is to teach Yiddishkeit. He represented the teacher. He represented perpetuating Yiddishkeit. He represented inculcating Yiddishkeit. He was the symbol. This is also Rav Hirsch, you should know, it's a Meritic part from Rav Hirsch, why a Kohen cannot be metamei himself to the dead. And Rav Hirsch says, in all religions, when they become religious, when someone dies, that's when religion takes over. People become frum, and people call in the priest, and people do this and do that. And he says, in Yiddishkeit, we want the people to know that this is a Torah Chaim, it's a living religion. We need the Kohen when we're alive to instruct us, to inspire us. When someone dies, Kohen has no role to play. That's not the time for Yiddishkeit. The person dies, he no longer is obligated to fulfill mitzvah. So, So the Rav said, with Churban HaBayit, every Jew has to perpetuate Yiddishkeit, and every Jew becomes a bit of a Kohen. And the Rav develops it further. You know, what is it? He says, a rabbi, it's the famous talk the Rav gave where he hits the nail on the head. I later use it in the rabbinate in a debate with the conservative rabbi, that we have no concept of two different religions. It's not like a priest observes on one level, a layman on another level. The rabbi and the congregant both have to observe the same Torah. The average American Jew has the attitude that the rabbi observes and we don't have to observe anything. You understand? God have mercy what happened in America. But we all have to observe. There's no such thing that you're a rabbi and he's a congregant. We're all partially Kohanim. Very developed, very nicely. So you see, the Lubavitcher Rebbe is saying here, and I have to say, it's a very interesting thought that Tvila, Avoda, the Beis Hamikdash, Churban HaBayit, every Jew is a partial Kohen. And you can compare that to Mori Rebbe with that talk that I hope one day will be published. You can put the two concepts together.
Do you think perhaps that your notes went in the Ziegler's book on the philosophy of the world?
Yeah, part of it, absolutely. What's it called? Humility and majesty and humility. Smashu, because that.
No, it's something about the philosophy of our salvation.
Yeah, yeah, I know the book. Yeah, I know the book.
Quite a good book.
Yeah, yeah.
A book that has a bunch of essays.
No. It's a blue cover.
Yeah.
A blue cover. I know the book. It's a very good book. But what I'm proud about in this new book is that's word by word the shir I gave in the kollel with the Rav's fancy language. The Rav used language. You know, you'll see. It's beautiful, beautiful. Now,
Does this connect to why Hasidim
Tvilat Ezra? Tvilat Ezra, we spoke about that in class a number of years ago. I'll tell you, the Hasidic, it's Alex is looking at me and he's saying, the average Jew, Tvilat Ezra was too hard for them. And that's why they abolished it. But I'm big enough, I can do it. That's the Hasidic concept here. That's number one. That I don't use the word better, but spiritually, they can be on a higher level than the average Jew. Yes, it was abolished for Klal Yisrael. You Litvakim don't go to mikvah, but we go every day. That's one. The other reason is, too, Kabbalistically, the mikvah takes on a much greater proportion than to the Litvish mind. The Litvish mind, it's halachic. I mean, I can give you an example. It shows up on one of the tapes of the Rav. The Rav finished shir he used to teach every Tuesday night in Moriah. You're not from New York, so you got to understand what I'm saying. The West Side, what happened was in the very early 50s, while a button of wealth, mainly diamond people, got together and they organized the shul. The shul doesn't exist today. They rented in a building, rented a few offices, put it together, called it Maria. The purpose of the shul, there was one flight up. There was a music in the building there where you could hear music. It was a studio to teach how to play instruments. It was on Broadway, it's the heart of the West Side. What was it, Broadway 78th, 79th? Maybe in my book on the Rub, I gave you the exact address there. So, 76, in that area. So, the deal, they said to the Rub, look, we're building this shul, and we want you to be our rabbi. We realize you live in Boston. So, they said, the main thing is we want a shir. So, every Tuesday night, for many decades, the Rub gave a shir for Balabatim and Rabbanim, in Moriah, okay? He was there Shabbat maybe once a month, and there was also a deal, I think he was there for Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, otherwise he would be in Boston. But am I right or wrong, Yitzchak? One of the Chagim, one of the Yom Noraim, he had to be in Moriah. And it was quite an influential shul. That's where the famous Chinuch Atzmai dinner, 1956, where the Rav honored Rav Aaron Cutler for Chinuch Atzmai, the millions of dollars that came in from those balabatim in that shul. That was the Rav's power. That's why Chinuch Atzmai turned to the Rav, Rav Aaron turned to the Rav, because if the Rav went, even though these balabatim were all Mizrachistim, but if the Rav went to honor Rav Aaron Cutler, the key balabatim turned out as well. I mean, you have to visualize. Later in life, when the Rav could no longer carry on, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik became the Rav of Moriah. And after Rav Aaron, the last rabbi was Rav Yosef Weiss, who we spoke about, or you can hear my talk on yutorah.org. That was just the talk I gave that they just broadcast in America, that Yomo recorded here in this room. I speak about Rav Yosef Weiss. So it was like in the family, the Soloveitchiks and Rabbi Weiss, who was their devoted disciple and Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik's classmate, etc.
Can you imagine if he would have done what he did in Maria every week at YU, the influence he would have had?
Well, what he did at Moriah, what he didn't do in YU, is that besides giving a shir in the Gemara, he spoke in Yonah, at the end he spoke on the Pasha in Yonah Diyoma. That's what Yitzhak is referring to. He dealt with contemporary Ashkafa. All right, whatever. The Rav in the classroom was kulo brisk. In Moriah, he was brisk for four-fifths of the time, but the last fifth, the last quarter, was already much broader. But what did I want to tell you about Maria? Oh, so what happened was when he finished shir, it was right before Yom Kippur. So he's, and it was all in Yiddish in Maria. Maria never changed to English. It remained in Yiddish. So he's talking with them. The Bala, no, when are we going to meet next? And he said, oh, Ba'aych is Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah, whatever he's talking. He says, you're all busy going to mikvah. He says, we don't go to mikveh, we're litvakim. And everyone's laughing, you know. But this is true. To a briska, mikveh has to have a halachic context. And it's for a lady, it's not for a man, bizman hazeh. Tuma v'tara, we can't get rid of. We're all tamei make, right or wrong. But to a chassid, he could never speak like the Rav on that level. To him, the mikveh was already al pi kabbalah, the memsah, what the mikveh did for you, the tahara, it's a different approach altogether. So this is the difference between a chassid and between a mitnagid. And you have to understand that, and that's takanat Ezra, we feel it's too hard. But a chassid says, particularly chabadnikim who go every day, a chassid says, not too hard. I'm on a level, I can do it. The Sahar Briyut, Leitzman, starts the day. He goes to mikveh every morning. Could you imagine with bodyguards there? He's a Sabah Memshelet Yisrael. These bodyguards are getting an education. He goes to mikveh every morning, I think 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30, and then he goes to daven. I have to, you know, I have to stand in awe of people who are consistent. Okay, I'm consistent in my road. I'm proud to be a Litvak. You understand? I told you, Morty Tarragon will be here tomorrow, Professor Tarragon. It's his father's yahrzeit tomorrow. I believe it's his father's yahrzeit. He's fasting. He's fasting. That's a Litvak. A chassid is a different world altogether. Min drink the lachayim, the neshama should have an aliyah. We have a hilula, a sudat mitzvah. All right, and there I have to tell you, I'm half chassid and half litvak. On my mother's yahrzeit, I make a siyum every year. A siyum in Masechet, that's a litvak. Why don't you daven for the Amid? I'm not a Baal Tefillah. I daven too slow. I don't want to cause problems for the Olam. I make a siyum, you understand? It's a litvak, what can I do? But then, I don't fast. I can't do like the Rav. I'm fasting is harder for me, I'm older. So I make a kiddush. Those have to put up with the siyum. We make a hilula, a collation. Okay, come back here now. Now, evidently a Hasidic younger man listening by the name of David Lich sent me sources where the Rebbe talks about Birchat Kohanim. So I wrote back to him, I know your sources from Rabbi Raskin. You follow? But one thing he adds here is that, and there's a description of it, all the sources I told you, and with we Jews become Kohanim, but here's a description of in English of a Fabrenian Erev Simchas Torah, Eve of Simchas Torah, and it's evidently Simchas Torah night already. At 9 p.m., the Rebbe came in and started the Fabrengen. He asked that someone make Kiddush and be Motzi whoever has not yet heard Kiddush. And then they described what went on at the Fabrengen, what the Rebbe spoke about. And at the end of the Fabrengen, the Rebbe said, Birchat Kohanim, for all the Jews, wherever they are, those in front of him and those that are all over the world. And at the conclusion of the Birchat Kohanim, the Rebbe encouraged the Hasidim, bless one another, Birchat Kohanim. It was a sight to behold, large crowds outside taking a bite to eat while blessing each other with Birchat Kohanim. Beautiful description, but all right, that's Chabad, that's the Rebbe, that's what they did, and they did it b'lei v'nefesh. I can just envision the sight, thousands of chassidim blessing one another. Be ahava. Birchat Kohanim has to be ba ahava. Lavarecha to Mo Yisrael, be ahava.
Chabad doesn't hold by blessing children Friday night.
Chabad what? What?
Doesn't hold by blessing children.
What, in Friday night? No, nothing, Alex? What, they bless or they don't
bless? I don't think it's the minhag, yeah.
Not to bless. But you see here that the Alter Rebbe encouraged, Rabbi Yaakov Emden encouraged, and if not Friday night, the Rebbe Simchas Torah at the Fabrengen gave Birchat Kohanim, and here at the weddings, a new kibbud. Is there anyone been at a Chabad wedding recently? Do they really have a separate kibbud? They call up Nassen Kohen, Harav Nassen Natan Kohen.
I think I remember that.
Come up and bless. Very fascinating. All right, gentlemen, here is the question that is the killer. And the problems we have today, beyond description, with all the innovation in medical procedure and what's going on with having children. Mishnah Halachot Chelik Zayin, Siman Yud Chet. And this tshuva is to a Chassidic Rebbe, to a Halbstamm. It's from the sons of a family. He was Rav, if I'm not mistaken, this the Tchitzlin of the Rebbe, if I'm pronouncing it right. He was Rebbe in the Bronx. He was in the Mount Eden area. He was near Rav Gorelick, in that area. And he turns to Rabbi Moshe Klein, and the question is overwhelming. This is a Kohen, happily married, and they can't have children. They can't have children because his sperm count is not high enough, not positive, whatever the word should be. She can have children. He can't. So what do you do today in a case like that? AID, artificial insemination, donor. Now, you should know it.
You're allowed to do that,
huh? You'll have to do that. What are you playing games with me? Open up Rakafet Aron Chelik Gimel, and please see to it that Alex has a copy. Okay? Absolutely a gift, and if you don't have it, bring it to me, I'll inscribe it to you. Okay? Affect Ashayla, Ashayla. 2.5 years of lectures. Don't.
AID.
The world was shaking over AID. We'll talk about that in the Monday class. You'll see what came out of that, my focus. You won't believe your ears, but not yet. It's not tomorrow. So, you go, you have artificial insemination. Don't you, Samach and Reb Moshe Feinstein? Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach? Fine. No? Now, when you go, it's interesting, when you go for AID, they describe to you, they will not tell you, obviously, who donated the sperms. You know how they get sperms. Men come in and donate them, they get paid. I have a very good friend, Shimon Bewellers, in his 90s. He became a Yid Tzaddik. But he told me when he was in medical school, he supported himself by donating sperms to the sperm bank. You follow? So now they'll give you a profile. These sperms are from a medical doctor who was 5'8", hazel eyes, brown hair. You follow what I'm saying? They give you a whole profile. So obviously you're going to pick sperms from a person who resembles what your husband looks like. If you have seichel, you're going to do that. Okay, so now they have a kid. This kid, no one, what do? You walk around advertising, this child was born from AID? No one knows. The kid looks like you, looks like the mother, looks like the father a little bit, doesn't matter. We don't always look exactly like our parents. Right or wrong. Sometimes, you know, it's very interesting. The first thing when a child is born, who does he look like? You look at the little infant. Oh, he has the mother's nose, the father's forehead. All right, we. Sometimes a kid looks exactly like one parent. It's an amazing thing. Sometimes I meet the parents, I say, wow, this kid, I say he had no mother. It's exactly tipapa tipa like the father or vice versa. But no one knows. Now this kid is going to a chayde, he's getting a fabulous education. The father is a Shema Torah mitzvah. No? You see the question? The father is a Kohen. What do you do with this kid? Chinuch, it all begins now. The whole question, if there's chinuch with Kohanim. The Rav spoke about this many times. I quote the Rav in the Rav. The Rav's point of view, Rav used to say, in America we can't get involved in the whole machloek is whether there's chinuch. There absolutely has to be chinuch. Because if you don't teach a kid he's a Kohen, he'll never know he's a Kohen. And the Rav told the story of the first wedding he performed in America, where this is the 1930s, early 1930s, Boston, and he turns to the kid and he's filling in the ketuvah. And he turns to the kid, are you a Kohen, a Levi Yisrael? He might as well have asked the kid what Indian tribe he comes from. So the Rav held, when a kid turns 9, 10, you have to take him up to Duchen with you. No? Here's the father sitting in shul, The kid is 11, 12 years old. Father goes up to Duchen. He wants to take the kid with him. Not only that, the father says to the Rebbe, to this Rebbe Halberstam, I'll tell him not to make a bracha. What's wrong? The Lubavitcher Rebbe was in the Kohen. He gave Birchat Kohanim. Rabbi Reuben was Masada Kedushin in Chester, Pennsylvania. No, maybe he gave Birchat Kohanim. He's not a Kohen. Why? So the kid will say Birchat Kohanim. He just won't make a bracha. What a question. Imagine what comes, the kid's bar mitzvah. What are you going to call him up? All right, maftil. You got to call him up quickly, swallow the words. No one will hear whether he's a Kohen or not. Who pays attention? You can't have one of these chazanish call-ups. Yamod, habachur, habam mitzvah, and you spell out the name and everyone wants to hear HaKohen. All right, the father's a Kohen, the kid is not. What a question. And you see, this question, if Lopez Cardoza or Hartman got this question, their answer would be, you don't want to embarrass anyone in public. Call him up a Kohen. We can't answer like that. There are real problems here. Call him up a Kohen. The Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt. Halavai tomorrow. No, they're going to say, come, do the avoda. Trumat. Who are you going to give? Trumat Maisa, Truma, Bikurim. These are real problems. He wants to marry a Grusha, a Giyoret. He can. Absolutely. It's a real, real problem. I knew, he's no longer alive, old man, killed in a terrorist attack. A gon, a tzaddik, what an individual. He was adopted. His father was a Levi. Father was a Rav, a Talmud Chacham. Was makpid to get a kid from a Jewish adoption society whose natural father was a Levi.
Yeah, I was going to say, why not get a Kohen to be his
sponsor? Well, no one's going to tell you in America whether it's a Kohen at the sperm bank. Maybe in Israel.
Oh, you're
maybe.
Not supposed to get sperm from a
Jew. Yeah, right. That's the whole heter is based upon the fact that...
I think it's a machloket.
No, the machloket is...
I thought the Hasidim hold that it should not be...
No. That's one of the reasons the Satmar Rav fought Rav Moshe so bitterly. How do you allow the seed of a Hitler into a Jewish body? You follow? But the idea, if it's a guy, so there's no brother-sister. Here in Israel, study Rakefet's third volume. Please study it and you'll understand. All right? This is quite a question. B'davar she'elato od b'kohen shehu akar. Kohen can't have children. And his wife can. And she had Hazra'a Malachutit. And now the kid is approaching Bar Mitzvah. And you want him to go up and duchen. Because if this kid doesn't duchen, people are going to look and see, wow, the father's a Kohen? Avram, the kid is not a Kohen. He's not duchening. The kid must be a mamza. What's wrong here? People gossip, people talk. And he says, and I know you told me that if there's a bracha levatala, so the kid won't say a bracha. But let him go up and duchen. And here, of course, you have a tremendous source that we quoted 2 weeks ago. The Gemara in Shabbat. With Rabbi Yossi, I'm a Rabbi Yossi, that I will always listen to whatever my friends tell me. And if my friends tell me to go up to Duchen, even though I am not a Kohen, I will go up to Duchen. Wow. And I showed you the Rishonim already asked. How do you do this? Mavatul mitzvah tasei. Who are you? You're not a Kohen. What's your problem, Yomo?
It's not what the Gemara says. He says he will listen to them.
So Yomo claims, what does it mean he will listen, Yomo? Don't wake him.
He will listen be Yotze Shemei Keona.
Yomo, that's a knappet teretz. Doesn't help. The Gemara, the Mefarshim already.
Where is this in the second
chapter? I quoted to you last time. I'll quote it again. Kuf Yud Chet Amid Bet. I quoted the Gemara actually the whole section. But you see, yeah, he'd go up to Duchen. But Yomo, there's a very simple answer. Everyone knows he's not a Kohen. You follow? He'd go up to Duchen. But everyone knows he's not a Kohen. And this takes us back to that original problem I raised 2 weeks ago, that a Kohen Amoritz, Kohen Gadol Amoritz, has no comparison to a Talmud Chacham who's not a Kohen. No, this guy, what they're trying to say is, here, Natan is davening and standing next to him is Reb Moshe Feinstein, and on the other side is the Rav, and he's going up the Duch, and he feels funny. He feels funny. Gedolei Yisrael, he says, come up with me. You're Gedolei Yisrael. They all know that they're not Kohanim, but Natan doesn't want to go up alone. So you see, this Gemara, that you bring a proof from this Gemara, it's not really a proof that you can allow it in this case. Because in this case, everyone will think the kid is a Kohen. It's logical. He's going up with his father. His father is a Kohen. The kid is holding on to his father's hand. The father is teaching the kid how to do the bracha. This kid is not a Gadol B'Yisrael. It's not like Rabbi Yossi, who knows he's not a Kohen, and everyone around him knows he's not a Kohen. Adarabba, Rotzeh Lachatol Tam Shehu Kohen, V'gam Chaverav Kulam Sovrim Shehu Kohen. And he says, Lahalacha, it is absolutely totally forbidden. And he tells the father, you have to tell everyone that this child is not your natural child, explain, because there can be tremendous problems afterwards. And he mentions some of the problems that I just mentioned a minute ago, that people will think he's a Kohen. People will think he can do the avoda. People will think he can eat trumat and trumat maisa. B'mehera yibaneh beit hamikdash v'yetze l'avod avoda v'od v'od. And he raises another issue that unfortunately came up halacha lemaisa right in the YU world. No. Why did I go to North Tel Aviv a few weeks ago? I walked Dalet Amot where I never walked before. Pidyon HaBen of my great-grandson, right or wrong, Uri Eisen, Aleph. I have a grandson, Asher Ackerman Aleph Aleph. His wife is Oria Ackerman Aleph Aleph. Now I have a grandson, Aleph Aleph, wow, Avia Ackerman. I'm getting confused. I have a grandson, Avia Ackerman, granddaughter-in-law, and a granddaughter-in-law, Oria Eisen, also Aleph Aleph. Now a grandson, Uri Eisen, Aleph Aleph. No, in order to do a pinyin haben, I'm the great-grandfather. No, I can't do the pinyin haben. They have to bring in a Kohen, right or wrong. So the uncle of the Rachanimo, he has a Rebbe that he goes to a shir, evidently twice, three times a week. Tel Aviv, North Tel Aviv. So his Rebbe brought his friend the Kohen. Okay. Was a sight to see, the Rebbe, the friend of the Rebbe, the Kohen. It turned out I knew part of the family. Beautiful. But a Kohen, redeeming a kid. No? No, finish the story. This kid who went up to Duchen. Everyone thinks he's a Kohen. They're going to call him over. We have to redeem a kid. Be the Kohen. Give you 5 shkalim. You know what they do today. The Kohen brings... In Israel, they manufactured the coins that are silver. Right? They supposedly have exactly the amount that 5 shkalim were worth at the time of the Torah. And you buy those coins from the Kohen. Or you rent them from the Kohen. But you have to be makabalit, bekinyan gomor. You lift it, you walk with it. And then you give it back to the Kohen. He gets the money. You rented the coins. You gave him a 300 shekel. Fine. No. The kid is redeemed. But this kid is not a Kohen. Do you start to understand the problems that come out of taking up a kid who was born by AID and making believe he's a Kohen? So Rav Menashe Klein Paskins, Chas v'chalila lahakel b'zeh. There's no way that you can be lenient in this case. And this is an example where I would use the word where our passion, our rachmanut, clashes with the halacha, but we have to bow to the halacha. We don't have a choice. Now, Yitzchak, where did this come up? Halacha l'maisa, and a very, very sad story. A rabbi who I yet studied with in Bernard Rebbe Graduate School, don't want to mention his name, very prominent rabbi, very capable, Talmud Chacham, held very big shtelas, and winds up in a very important shtela for many, many years. And he's counseling a woman getting divorced. And if I can quote Rav Kefet, if we had any brains, we would ask rabbis counseling women. We have a role for women today. Rabbinic advices, spiritual advices, women to women, men to men. Well, his wife, Ivanta, 50 years, is divorced, or well over 40 years, and he marries this Grusha. Marriage worked out. They're still together. It must be at least 10, 15 years later. No? How is he allowed to marry her? So he claimed that he didn't know for sure he's a Kohen. He only found out because his grandmother told him that his parents weren't religious. A very, very sad story. It just added to the suffix that no one has a cheskas Kohen. But to say that you're allowed to marry a grusha or a giyoret on that basis, very, very shaky and weak.
He
didn't have children again. He had children from the first marriage. And his are you asking a question? His son, who was married to my student, 2 very bright individuals, didn't go to medical school because he was a Kohen. Okay? Didn't go to medical school. And then all this happens. So, of course, now you have a tremendous question. Here was a prominent rabbi of a prominent shul, a capable rabbi, an erudite rabbi, a rabbi with a doctorate. And who else would you turn to do pidyon haben? You see, being a rabbi who's a Kohen has one disadvantage. Funerals. You can't go into the chapel. You can't go to the cemetery. But it has one tremendous advantage when it comes to pidyon haben. You have your rabbi. You don't have to call in a stranger. Man darf nicht reinrufen a Fremder. I just said that in English. I say it in Yiddish, which is my Torah Mama Lashon, my mother tongue. Wow. Now, what do you do? Over the years, how many kids was he polder? Thousands. Thousands. You understand the issue I'm raising?
Do a lot of those people go back and do a pidgin haben again?
Well, those that will learn it, how to do a pidgin haben again without a bracha. They say the Vilna Gaon, not they say, I know it as a fact. Every time the Vilna Gaon met a new Kohen, he redeemed himself again. Why? Because the Vilna Gaon was chayshish. Maybe this Kohen is only becheskas kohuna, but it's not positive, it's not vadai. Every time he went and redeemed himself again. So anyone who will ask me from that incident, I would answer, look, Ma'ika Hadin, he was Becheskat Kohen, he was no different than any other Kohen. His grandmother told him, he claimed he had a tshuva from Rabbi Yosef, he could never produce it. He lost a big position afterwards. He ran away from America, and he was in Europe, and he couldn't produce the tshuva from Rabbi Vajja, and they had to let him go. It was in London. But what a question, what a problem. But you see how Rav Menashe Klein is absolutely right. Chas v'chalila, to be matter this, the kid would be a Kohen. He's not a Kohen, not at all. And it may be slightly embarrassing, although I have to say in the year 2018 where we are today, nothing is embarrassing anymore. You tell people, all right. But you see, this is a perfect example of someone who you would be certain is a Kohen. But he's not a Kohen. His father is a Kohen. His father duchens. His father gets the first aliyah. His father benches. Father is 100% a Kohen. And the kid is 100% a Yisrael. It's not a halal, because he never was a Kohen. In that sense, it's not that there was a desecration of kahuna, but it was a mother who wanted to have a child. And I don't have to tell you, this drive to have a child overflows. You have today in the state of Israel, lo aleinu, my own students included, how many ladies who reached their early 30s, mid-30s, and saw they're not getting married, and had AID. They go to, I don't know, they say in Germany, in Munich, there's a hospital that has a 90, that specializes in AID, has a 90% success rate, they say. I know people who did it, Reb Meisher's Psak, not simple. But we're living in a terrible world where people are so, it's frightening. Shomer Shabbos people, from people, but they think a little differently. This one is Tzioni Dati, this one is semi-charedi. They can't marry. Chas v'chalila. Ribbono shel Olam, did anyone ever teach you compromise? Torah.
I don't think that's the biggest reason why people are not getting married.
Well, among, Alex, I'm dealing with it right now and I'm suffering. So please, it's not the only reason. There are many reasons.
There's
but
plenty of people in their Hashkafic circle that they could marry.
Halavai, you're right. But I came up with a solution that was beautiful. You have no idea. I don't want to go further. But I couldn't believe it. Oh my. I would love to see a Chabatnikit marry a Talmud of the Rav. And I'd love to see how beautiful it can work out. All I can tell you is, I'm a Litvak on all sides. All my grandparents, Vilna, Kovna, Slunim, Minsk. Simon, you can't do any better than what I just told you. My wife, pure Hasidish. Bells, Meshbitz. Oh my gosh. Malachim in the family. What I have to put up with? Modern American kids. Listen, Alex, don't be a wise guy. I can't eat gebruchs on Pesach in front of my wife. Do you know what a sacrifice that is? Don't be a wise guy, Alex. Tomorrow, be here right on time because I'm chopping your head off. You'll see what happened. Okay? That's tomorrow. Today's today. tomorrow, tomorrow. Don't get upset if the Rebbe is going to take you on.
All the hotels, yeah. All advertised, no verbrachs.
No gebrachs.
What the heck is going on here? The whole world became...
The hotel is very smart. They want Alex to come. So if they would have gebrachs, 40, 50% of the people who are coming can't come. So their idea is no gebrachs. But Baruch Hashem, the psak is, even in your Chassidic circles, that the dishes don't become a treif. You understand what I'm saying? So if I sneak in a little matzah, you can still eat at
aren't
that affair. Excuse me?
Aren't a lot of poskim like choshesh for going to Pesach hotels in general?
Let's hope. All I can tell you is, I have gone away for Pesach to speak, and you know, I hope I didn't have problems with what I ate. I understand the problems very well, but this year, Baruch Hashem, I turned down all invitations, not because I'm a tzaddik, but because I want to be with my great grandchildren, and it's worth more to me to hear. My great-grandchildren asked the four questions, okay? Okay, so let me reiterate. Today was a very fascinating shiur, whether we like it or not. This question of AID is overwhelming. I mean, you just think about it. And today, with all the surrogate mothers and how they conceived the egg in a dish, you don't know who's who anymore. Who's the mother? Who's the father? What's the status of the child? Who can he marry? Who can't he marry? Wow. But this is, at a very early stage, already dealing with AID. And when Alex will have studied Rakafat Aram, Chela Gimel, he will see that the Rav, you know the story with the Rav? This lady calls the Rav. It's word by word in Chela Gimel, and it's word by word in the Rav, where I quote the Rav, my quote Rebbe. This lady calls the Rav and she says, Rabbi Soloveitchik, I go to a conservative temple and I asked my rabbi the following question, and he told me he doesn't know the answer. He said to call you. He said, you're the smartest rabbi in the world. And the question was, she, husband couldn't conceive a child, so she had a boy, artificial insemination, and now she wants to have another child the same way, but she heard there was something about a problem, and she asked the rabbi. And the Rav tells her, it's a very difficult question, I have to think about it. And she says, well, they said you're so smart. He said, I don't know how smart I am, but this question I really don't know. And he thought, and the Rav spoke about it, and said, I don't know what to answer. Oli mi yitzri, the only miyotzri. No matter where I turn, I run into a problem. If I permit it, then I'm permitting what could be mamzeret. If I don't permit it, then the first kid is a mamzeret. You follow? And it's a very difficult question. But this story with the Kohen, it captures life and human emotion. But Reb Menashe Klein, I can't see anyone arguing with him of stature. With the Rebbe and the Hasidic Rabbi Raskin sources, 100% normative sources. See, this is Chabad. That's that picture I took for you last week of Devorah Handel teaching her class in Greg's. Totally normative, beautiful, magnificent. I was blown away by this little lady, mother of five children, Shlucha Tabaka. Halvai, I would know Chumash the way she knows Chumash. And right there, in comes the Messianist with his kippah, Yechiyah, Donenu, Moreinu, Rabbeinu, Melech, Mashiach, Lalam, Ve'ed, and the waiters are lining up to put on tefillin. But my hope is that the Messianicism has quieted down, will quiet it down, and Ribbono Shel Olam, we have to go further. Now, Ad Kan. Tomorrow is a very fascinating shiur. And I'm grinding in. I hope I'll reach you tomorrow. I may not be able to do it all tomorrow, but I'm grinding in. I have some stuff for you. I'm grinding in to the big controversy in the mid-60s when the YU world was shaking over synagogue council. Not 56, talking now 65, 66. And I dug out documents that I long since forgot where I had them. But I found them, and I'm prepared to roll. It's all involved with Rabbi Huttner as well. So Bezrat Hashem, we have what to do tomorrow, and then we break for Pesach. I want to show you something very interesting. I never believed. Here's a new Haggadah that just came out. Came out last week. It's the Ayeka organization. A-Y-E-K-A. You can read about it. It's a shoot-off of someone who taught in Pardes, and he developed a whole... This is to help educators get kids involved in Chinuch. What's amazing about this Haggadah, you have questions... Before Pesach, you have to answer questions, what you think. And on Pesach, it personalizes the Haggadah. You can quote, for instance, Kol dechvin, yeitei v'yachal. Anyone who is hungry, come and eat. Who would you want to invite to your Seder? And that's for everyone. For kids, a question, if matzah could talk, what do you think it would say? You follow? And the whole Haggadah, I was so blown away. Those of you who are going into Chinuch, you should make a note of this Haggadah. Ayeka, you can go online and you get all the information where to order it. This is for Yitzchak, pass that back. I want to make a very important announcement. A social hall at a Florida Orthodox Shul, Congregation Judea, in Hollywood, Florida, will be named for Joe DiMaggio. Last week at a ceremony, Rabbi Joseph Bronstein says the Orthodox Synagogue wants to honor DiMaggio, an Italian Catholic, because he is a symbol, a hero, and a role model to the past, present, and future to all. And Morris Engelberg, who I've spoken about so many times, gave permission. And I want to tell you, I'm very happy.
Who's
on this kid.
Morris Engelberg,
ask me tomorrow. I'm very happy. I just don't understand why they didn't invite me to speak. Now, here's an article on coaches and the role they play in baseball. Fabulous article. First base coaches. I wrote to the guy, I have material that's not in the article. Okay, and here what we spoke about in class, New York Times article, a new form of stem cell engineering raises ethical questions. The very problems, who is the father? Who is the mother? Morton Deutsch, expert on conflict resolution, dies at 97. New York Times article, I love it. After Morton Deutsch learned that Lydia Shapiro was sunbathing along the Charles River in Boston when she was supposed to be interviewing subjects for a sociological experiment, he resorted to a conventional method of resolving a workplace dispute. He abruptly fired her. Gentlemen, 1 year later, he married her, and their marriage lasted till he died on the 70 years. He said she married me to get even with me, and she said I married him because I'm a masochist. Later they put out a book together. They're both beautiful articles. Just doesn't write about their Yiddishkeit. I'd love to know if they knew anything about Yiddishkeit. Very interesting story from the New York Times on America finding a purpose. Talks about the Puritans, the Exodus story today. That rivals Trump, the Exodus story, in Gathering of the Yet. Very interesting. And finally, the best picture in the world. You all recognize the father and daughter. And the daughter is saying to her father, Dad, I need you to buy my chametz. And let me tell you, Ashreinu, that we live to see this.
Only a prophet.
Until we meet again in health and happiness tomorrow morning at 9:05 a.m. Das Vedanya. Thank you very, very much.